If you appreciate the doctrines of grace as you have heard them on this radio program and live in the Abbotsford area, we invite you to worship with us at Emmanuel Covenant Reformed Church on Sundays at 10 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. at 35063 Page Road in Abbotsford. We are a church that emphasizes Jesus Christ alone as our way of reconciliation with God. Visit our website at abbotsfordurc.org.
An antidote to our days of famine. Welcome to Abounding Grace. On behalf of Abounding Grace Radio, here is our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon.
Well, we're thankfully taking the time to tune into Abounding Grace Radio today. I am Pastor Chris Gordon of Abounding Grace Radio Ministries, and today we are studying Romans chapter 5. I'm going to look at this section of what I call standing in grace, and this is so important for the Christian life. This explains for us, it provides assurance, it helps us to understand the gospel, it's explaining for us things that are so glorious. And I realize how important this is for the Christian today. One of the things that I have noticed pastorally is that many Christians struggle to believe that God loves them. You know, they struggle, especially when they get very introspective about life. They start thinking about all the foolish things and the terrible things that they've done over the course of their lives, and really how little we respond to the Lord who carries our burdens. This God who sent his son to die for us, and when we begin to look closely at our lives, we often fall into despair. So what do we do? All of us face doubts. All of us struggle with assurance. All of us face periods when you feel like the burden of sin is so much because you are sensitive to it as God has opened up your heart that you begin to ask the question, how can this God really love? Does he? This is what Paul's dealing with in Romans 5. You could almost summarize what he is doing in Romans 5 with something that was said in the little epistle of John, a statement that was intended to be one of the most pastoral responses to sensitive Christians, and it's this. When our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows all things. In other words, the conviction of conscience that we experience and the sensitivity to our sins, when our heart rises up and condemns us, saying, you can't be loved by God and do that, God is saying, your heart never determines the truth of the matter. And that has, you see, profound implications for the Christian life. This is Romans 5. What the apostle is doing here is applying the doctrine of justification by faith alone. And the really important thing to say up front is that the Christian doctrine has everything to do with life. Don't let anyone tell you today that doctrine is a hindrance or that doctrine is evil or that doctrine divides. Doctrine is everything. What we believe, it's doctrine, that means teaching. It's everything. And Paul is unpacking for us today the fruits of this as we go forward in life. In other words, the grand declaration that when you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in true faith, that God in his eternal tribunal justifies you. He declares you not guilty. The declaration that you are justified took place outside of you based on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean that such a declaration that I am righteous outside of me, that has no bearing on the life we now live. And this really does answer the whole charge that Christian doctrine is cold and abstract. Romans 5 is looking at the effects of this truth. It's looking at the consequences of justification by faith alone. And again, we see how wonderfully pastoral the doctrine of justification by faith is for the whole of the Christian life. It goes like this. Do you understand what justification by faith means for you? Do you know what justification by faith has secured for you? Do you know what this means for your sanctification? You know what Romans 5 is? Romans 5 is telling us how we enjoy our justified status as Christians. If you're an unbeliever today, you don't know this, and I hope you'll take to heart what's being said. What is being held out in the Christian gospel to have true joy and peace. He knows that the problem of ongoing sin is real. But he wants to start in Romans 5, Paul does, with what the truth of justification has secured for you. The Apostle Paul is telling us this in verse 1. Listen very carefully. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. What the Lord inspired here is extremely important for all of the Christian life. The first fruit he mentions of being justified is peace. Peace with God. Now let me state the doctrine one more time. When somebody embraces and believes in Jesus with true faith, even though his conscience is grievously troubled about his sin, nevertheless, out of sheer grace, do you know what God did? He granted and credited to that sinner's account the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ. The consequences being that when God looks upon that sinner, it's as if he had never sinned or been a sinner. He is covered with the beautiful robe of Christ's righteousness. Now, the reason we have to understand that is because Paul has been laboring since chapter 1 to tell us the great truth that if that righteousness, if the standard of perfection that God demands in being holy, for anyone to see him, that's what he demands. If perfect righteousness is pursued by anything that we do, in other words, if you're trying to work your way to heaven, you will never have assurance that you are forgiven. In other words, this is a very practical concern that the apostle has for those who think that they can achieve and live up to this standard. The consequence of that view is what? You will never, ever, ever have assurance. You'll never really know. Can't have it. You'll be a miserable person because the reality is that the law, Paul says in chapter 4, brings wrath. You ever seen how people act being under the law? They're fighters. There's no understanding. Obedience to the law and trying to climb up to God secures for you condemnation. No joy in that. There's a lot of stuff in Christianity that's all about rules. It's all about obtaining to the righteous standard yourself. No security. But think of what the truth of the gospel brings. When you live believing and enjoying Christ, received by faith alone, not by anything you do, you believe, you trust him, you believe in him. Paul just said in Romans 5, your whole standing before God has changed. Now that should have a lot of meaning for us. I title the message today, Standing in Grace. I want to focus on that word stand. There is a question that the entire Old Testament was asking. It's found in 1 Samuel. Who is able to stand before the Lord, this holy God? Dear listener, you should ask that question. How in the world are you going to be able to stand before this holy God who, if he sees anything wrong, any sin, he is a consuming fire. He will destroy you. Anytime anyone had a glimpse of that glory, you know what they did? They ducked and covered. They fell and covered their faces. And anyone who so much as saw a glimpse of that glory, they were consumed. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve into sin, you know what happened? They were kicked out of the presence of the Lord. The flaming swords went up. And the answer to the question, who could come and stand before the Lord, this holy God? The answer was no one. And Paul here just said something that is shocking to us. I hope it's shocking to the Christian. We stand in grace. Remember what John saw in Revelation, the last book of the Bible? Behold, a great multitude that no man could number, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes. What I believe makes Romans 5 so beautiful for us is that this is not just in the future. Paul is saying that one of the great blessings we get to enjoy right now is a right standing before God. We stand in grace because the only one who is able to come and secure righteousness and pay the penalty and release us from death and sin is the Lord Jesus Christ. And based on him, we get to stand. Martin Lloyd-Jones once wrote, "We've entered into a position of grace. We have our introduction to God, and now we stand before him in an entirely new manner. We have access by faith into this grace by which we stand." The word means the right to enter, freedom to enter. And I believe what Paul wants us to see here is that the doctrine of justification brings something permanent that cannot be changed. Your position before God is fixed now, entirely different than what it once was when you came to Christ. What was it at one time? Before you came to Jesus, you were an enemy, dear listener. You had no access. You were hellbound. But having come to believe in Jesus, Paul tells us what is the greatest blessing, the greatest benefit, the greatest consequence in our lives of being justified by his grace. What is it? The greatest blessing of justification is that you get to now enjoy throughout the course of your life the benefit of peace with God. And here's what's so moving about this. It's a peace that was entirely accomplished through Christ. You didn't create it. You didn't even ask for it. He died for you while you were still a sinner. What was the first thing that Jesus said after the resurrection? "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." I believe Jesus meant that. That as believers in him, there's no reason to think that God is ever against us. There's no reason to be afraid. If God is for us, who can be against us? Now that may not immediately stand out to you like it should, but think of what he's saying to you for a minute, dear listener. If this standing before God in grace is permanent and sure, think of what it means for the Christian life. This is what Paul is having us think through. Go back to Abraham, Genesis 15. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. That was the moment of his justification. You know what happened in the next chapter? Abraham, in Genesis 16, falls terribly with the Hagar incident. He goes into another woman. And after this mammoth failure, what happened? Did the relationship with God change after Abraham's failure? The relationship didn't. And God still fulfilled his promise to save Abraham and send the seed who is Christ. Now, I raise that to make the point. The doctrine of justification is sure and far-reaching certainty in the Christian life. That's what it brings. Far from championing that we should go on sinning, that grace may abound, we should see that when we do sin, the relationship never reverts back to becoming that of an enemy. But then I can have peace with Christ, coming to the Heavenly Father, who, as Jesus said, that I would understand that the Father loves me. This has huge implications for you today. I believe that this is what Paul is concerned about. Works make nothing sure. Law-keeping makes nothing sure. But receiving by Christ makes everything sure. And it completely changes the relationship so that you are forever and no longer an enemy of God, but a friend. How does this practically work out? A lot of young people struggle with sin, don't they? Sin brings terrible burdens to the conscience. Christians get beat up. They feel threatened to abandon the whole thing and give up. One of the things that the doctrine of justification should do for you in your great struggle against sin, it should be used as a great weapon to overcome sin. You sin, and what should you do? You should quote Colossians 2, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses." The truth is, even when I sin as a Christian, I have been made alive. I've already been forgiven. I've been washed in Christ. I have access by faith into this grace by which I stand. Therefore, when I sin, I don't give up. I get up. I confess my sins to the one who is faithful and just to forgive us all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the consequences that I get throughout the course of life as a Christian to enjoy peace with God. Now, Paul's not stopping here today. Think about what he says in verse 2. That since we stand in grace, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You know what the Lord does for his justified saints? He gives them to look forward in certainty of what is to come. In other words, the Christian gets to enjoy in this life the certainty of where he's going after he dies. I hope we never take that for granted as Christians, ever. This is a beautiful gift of the Lord. The assurance of heaven, the enjoyment of that assurance, that knowledge you're going there, that you get to behold one day Christ face to face, being like him, that glory being held out for you. That's one of the promises of the Lord. The Lord just said, having been justified by faith, one of his benefits to us is a confidence that he gives us that this is ours. Isn't that wonderful? And you see, at this point, it's almost as if the apostle bursts into explaining how this truth is so wonderful that it drives every aspect of the Christian life. It changes your perspective about everything. Your entire outlook on life changes. How so? Listen to verse 3 of Romans 5. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. If we have peace, are standing in grace, do you know and do you see how this affects how we think through the trials and afflictions of this life? Paul says, we get to glory in tribulation. That's not something we understand, is it? Some of you listening may have been through some awful things in life, suffering, pain, death. Our immediate response is, when we see these things in loved ones and in us, take it away, Lord. Because inwardly, we are struggling with the thought that such affliction, such hardship, such bad fortune as the world sees it, is an indication of God's displeasure. This was the problem of Job's friends. That's our natural thought, and that whatever we face needs to be overcome. And so we struggle with thinking that in the affliction, in the sorrow, in the hardship, it's a message that God is against us. And this is something the apostle is addressing. Our first response in affliction is to question the goodness of God and to immediately correct and make right. For there is no good in this. There can't be. Paul had to wrestle with this. Remember in 2 Corinthians 12, lest I should be exalted above measure by the exceeding abundance of revelations. In other words, since God was giving me so much revelation of the truth, a messenger of Satan was given to me to torment me. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said, my grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, do we see how justification by faith, when you're right with God, it changes your outlook on everything? If you have peace with God, if we have certainty of where we're going and the hope of glory, then that changes my whole perspective on what's happening in this life. Whatever God gives me, he gives me for a purpose. Maybe to make me an example to others, to show Christ. But here Paul says, such affliction, since it comes to one standing in grace, guarantees fruit. That's exactly what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 12, I will therefore boast in my infirmities, in reproaches and needs and persecutions, that the power of Christ might rest upon me, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Verse 3 says, all tribulation produces endurance. We have need of endurance, so that after we've done the will of God, we may receive the promise. It's producing in us strength to bear up. In other words, we're being strengthened in the affliction, that we more and more would learn to live in eager expectation of what is to come. And Paul says that's producing something. That's producing character. As God's grace is sufficient, do you know what it's done to us? It's produced within us a quality of maturity and being approved. It shows that we are God's children. And Paul brings it back, saying that in the end of the hope, in the end of that is hope. In other words, our hope is confirmed as our eyes are set on what is to come. So justification has brought us a new position. Our whole perspective in life now changes as we are being refined. We are being tested. We are growing in grace and in truth. And Paul concludes with saying that what we enjoy in this life is absolute assurance of these things. I'm not sure if anything could be said stronger to seal everything that is said here of the wonderful blessings that he just rehearsed when he said in verse 5 that this hope doesn't put us to shame. The glory that is soon to come in the new heavens and the new earth, we're not going to be let down. He's not slow in giving us his promise. Why? Because he says the love of God has been poured out in our hearts. And lo and behold, in the first time in the book of Romans, we meet someone. He says the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. What a gift. Let me put this negatively to get a sense of this. We will not have the removal of God's love that has been poured out in our hearts. It can't be taken because the one who makes all of this certain is the Holy Spirit. You see how this whole section breathes assurance and confidence? The absolute assurance of God's love is never something we produce. God knew that. If assurance rested on us, we'd never have it. That's what he's been laboring to say the whole time. But if the knowledge of God's love is dependent on his Spirit, it's a love that he is committed to make you see, to make you experience, to make you know even through the sufferings of this life. I want you to listen to what John Calvin said about this. This is so beautiful. And certain it is that no other thing is taught by Paul than that the true fountain of all love is when the faithful are convinced that they are loved by God, and that they are not slightly touched with this conviction, but have their souls thoroughly saturated with it. That's an amazing statement. Let me quote it again. And certain it is that no other thing is taught by Paul than that the true fountain of all love is when the faithful are convinced that they are loved by God. In other words, God's gift to you is that you would enjoy and know that you are loved by him. And then he says that they're not slightly touched with this conviction, that it's no little thing. They are so overwhelmed with this grace that their souls are thoroughly saturated with it. You know, this was Paul's prayer. Remember what he prayed for the Ephesian church? Listen to this. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Who wants to say doctrine is cold and abstract? The doctrine of justification by faith alone is everything. It drives your life. Its aim is that you would enjoy it. And by being certain that you stand in grace, have peace with God, you are secured with a love that can never be taken from you. Dear listener, that is a life-changing declaration. Abounding Grace Radio is brought to you by Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. We are a listener-supported program, and we humbly ask both for your prayerful and financial support. Please go to our website at agradio.org to learn more about who we are, to write us, and to email us questions if you wish. We'd be glad to answer them. And also to download these podcasts, which are all free of charge. Thanks for tuning in today. May the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
The Linden United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught. We invite you to come and worship with us Sundays, 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. Visit us on the web at www.lindenurc.org. That address again, www.lindenurc.org.
It's hard to find teaching today that is gospel-centered and Christ-glorifying. This is our goal here at Abounding Grace Radio. We are a Christian radio broadcasting ministry committed to historic Protestant Reformation theology and the message of salvation by grace alone through faith alone. We teach the gospel of Jesus Christ from all of Scripture as a witness to those who do not believe and to strengthen believers in the truth of God's Word. At Abounding Grace Radio, we desire that all listeners would come to know the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we give ourselves each and every day to bring this radio broadcast to you. We invite you to go to our website at agradio.org to learn more about who we are and what we believe. All of these programs are there in podcast format for you for download for free. We would love to hear from you. We remind you that we are a listener-supported program. We are very thankful for any prayerful and financial support and would like you to know that any support that you give will go to the cost of the program. We are very thankful always to have this opportunity to bring Abounding Grace Radio to you. If this has been a blessing to you, do please write to us. Our address is Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington 98264. Well, thanks for taking the time to tune into Abounding Grace Radio. May this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and all of its glory continue to richly bless you.
Hi there. I'm Pastor Ryan DeYoung from the Langley Canadian Reformed Church. If you appreciate the doctrines of grace as heard on this program and you live in the Langley area, we invite you to come worship with us. Our Sunday services are at 9:30 and 2, and we're located at 21804 52nd Avenue, just down the hill from the Langley Memorial Hospital. We are a church that emphasizes the good news that Jesus Christ alone is our Savior and Lord. To find out more, visit our website at langleycanrc.org.